Today is December the 13th, 2008, and Mark wanted to do a discussion tonight, and he's got a title of a discussion he wants to do.
We shouldn't go back to sin.
We shouldn't go back to sin. No, we shouldn't go back to sin. Unfortunately, a lot of us have struggle every day with sin, and if we were honest about it, it's not something we like. Kind of like Paul said, I do what I do not, and I do not what I do. It's a constant struggle that we have before us. And apart from the grace of God, who can stand? None of us can stand. But there is good news. The reason Christ came was to pay our sin debt on the tree. When we find ourselves in sin, it's a grieving sort of thing. You know, we're in this flesh, and you know, I'm coming up on my 55th year of living. I'm one of those pagan Christmas babies. My birthday is 2 days after Christmas. And so, 5-5, the big 5-5, 55 years. And I, in all the 55 years that I've lived, I've met a lot of people. And I've never met anyone that was perfect. Except I have met Jesus Christ. And I know that He is without sin. He's perfect, harmless, separate from sinners. That's why He can pay the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You know, we're unworthy of anything except damnation and death. But Christ had mercy, and it's hard for us to understand how that God could show mercy to anybody, because we're a disobedient and rebellious people. We are all righteous, unrighteous, like filthy rags. We are depraved and dead in our trespasses and sin. And a lot of people say, why do you spend so much time talking about man's depravity? Well, I get sick and tired of hearing people talking about how good man is. And his self-actualized self. Self-esteemism, the Shuler Towns. I'm sick and tired of it. That's not going to have anything to do with the reality of man's condition. That's something concocted by these humanistic psychologists. They're trying to deceive people. Would you agree?
Yes.
So when you say that we must not go back to sin, you know, we shouldn't go back to sin, we need to qualify that. You know, the Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us. But He also tells us not to sin. He says that we should keep His commandments, but His commandments are not grievous. You know, there's a lot going on in our world today. We're living in a society where our society is becoming more and more corrupt all the time, immoral, and the government is trying to become more and more controlling over our individual lives. Bureaucracy is taking over. They're trying to get us enslaved to a socialistic bureaucratic system. But Jesus Christ said, in Me you have peace. He says, not the peace of not, he says, not of this world, the peace I give unto you. He says, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you and return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And so this whole aspect of sin, the fallen curse, the cursed world, the actual sins that we commit on a daily basis. You know, a lot of people don't want to accept the fact that we sin every day in word, thought, and deed. We sin even in ignorance sometimes. Not recognizing we're sinning, we sin. And some of the more blatant sins are sins of pride, arrogance, you know, same thing, kind of, covetousness, licentiousness, bearing false witnesses against our neighbors, stealing, cursing, lying, cheating, committing adultery, fornication, all kinds of evil concupiscence. Is there any hope for this world? Well, the Bible tells us that if we have only this life, excuse me, we are of all men most miserable. The only thing we have to look for is this life. You know, and that's something that Paul said. Because we're all sinners. Now, some of us have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Behold, all things have become new. Does that mean that you had a reformation and you turned your life around? No, it does not. It means that the precious blood of Jesus was applied, and he took the substitution for your sin. He paid the ransom for your sin. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And, you know, when we talk about it, you know, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. Well, Christ is the one that has given us the security of seeing him one day and being like him face to face in perfect righteousness. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't believe in the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. Was he not?
Yes.
And he committed some great sins in his life. And we know of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and how he put Uriah on the front lines of battle and how he had Uriah pretty much, he was murderer. He had him killed. And then he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But you know what? He was one of God's sheep and he was granted forgiveness for his sin. He said in Psalms that he would not impute his sins to him, that his transgressions were covered. So if you're struggling with sin, and we all do, and if we say we're not, we're just not being truthful. There are those out there that are in the holiness group that say they're entirely sanctified, both mind, soul, and body. Well, if you mean by that term that you are set apart by God, I agree with you. But if you mean by that term that you no longer have any sin in your life, you're lying. Because like I said, I'm 55 years old, and I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of holiness people, and I've never met anybody that is without sin. I've just met, except for Jesus Christ, I've just never met anybody. Now, I've met some people that tried to purport that they were entirely sanctified, meaning that they had reached a point in their life where sin, they don't sin anymore. But when you really nail them down, they have to admit the fact that they're not perfect. That's what Christ is. He is perfect, spotless, blameless. He is the perfect sacrifice. That's why He came into the world. We're not perfect. We're corrupt and vile, and apart from His imputed righteousness and apart from His Holy Spirit, we would be another Genghis Khan or another Adolf Hitler or another Saddam Hussein or another George Bush or another Obama. You know, but because of Christ, because of His grace that's shed abroad in our heart, we have a desire. We want to please God. We want to do what's right. But there's this warfare in us. Satan would like to ensnare us. On a daily basis, Satan comes up against God's elect. He is the great accuser of the brethren. He constantly accuses us and says, you can't be a Christian. Look at this in your life. Look at this in your life. Look at this in your life. Jesus Christ, God the Father looks at Jesus Christ and sees us as righteous because of His death on the cross for us. That's the only way we have any merit to be reconciled to the Father, is through the merits of Jesus Christ, not of our own works. Now, the Arminians would like for you to think it's something else. We are to obey the Word of God. We are to live in a life that is consecrated and holy. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. But in all of our attempts to walk in ways that are pleasing to God, we still fail. We still stumble. We still fall. And people that say that a person who has trusted in Jesus Christ, believed upon His Son, been a recipient of His grace, can fall of His grace ultimately, are lying through their teeth. Because the Bible says just the opposite. Jesus says to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you blameless. You know, yes, we're going to fall, but that's our experiences. Yes, we struggle, but the reality of the legal work is already completed by Jesus Christ. He said it is finished. You know, and underneath God's elect are the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's a comfort. You know, people don't want to talk about perseverance and preservation. They want to talk about, you know, all the merits of man's works. Yes, I am 55 years old, and I've known some people that seem to be very righteous. They were very humble type acting people. Pietistic. Even the way they talked was very pietistic. They seemed to be very loving and kind and gracious. They seemed never to get angry or distempered, or they seemed to be walking in perfection. But yet, when you really got to know those people, there was still an element of pride. Still an element of pride there. And what does that leave us? Hopeless? Do we wring our hands and throw in the towel and say there's no hope. There is no hope. That's true. Apart from Jesus, that's a good place to be in our spiritual experience. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope. He's the only one we can look to. If we're looking to our own merits, our own piety, our own humility, our own sanctification, our own growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, is where we're supposed to be growing, not in the grace and knowledge of how we every day interact with everybody. Because I'll tell you what, if my salvation was based upon my interaction with other people, my scorecard would be pretty low. Because I fail, I falter, I mess up a lot. I'm not proud of that fact, but that's exactly what it is. And so the people that are listening to this talk tonight about Mark's discussion about we shouldn't go back to sin, yeah, we shouldn't. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to. Whether you like it or not, we're going to end up succumbing to and faltering and failing. That's why we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. Why do you think John said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Why do you think he said if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us? That's because John knew that we have this internal struggle going on inside us all the time. Satan is going to badger us. He's the prince and power of the air. He worketh in the sons of disobedience, in whom we all had our in times past, but we still struggle with the flesh daily. People say, well, I don't like that doctrine. I want the doctrine to where we no longer have any problem with. Well, that's what I used to want. That's what I was looking for a long time. That's why I ended up in unity, where they denied sin. You know, best way to deal with the fact that we're living in a sin-cursed world is just say it doesn't exist. Just go into a movement that says just evil doesn't exist. That's just all in your mind. No, sin is not existent. The devil is not existent. Evil is not existent. We're living in a pristine world without sin. We have no sin. We have reached a consciousness where we no longer sin. We are perfectly holy and pure and righteous. We don't acknowledge anything. That's like I said before, I knew a gal that I went to her funeral and her kids were bragging over the fact that she never wanted to talk about anything as it relates to evil. And she didn't even want, somebody bought her a vacuum cleaner and the brand on it was Dirt Devil, and she did not even want to see the word devil, so she took a piece of tape and taped over the word devil. Look, like I said before, the devil is real. He is the prince and the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. And he is also going to look. How many days did he tempt Jesus Christ?
40 days.
40 days.
40
days.
40
nights.
Yeah.
He just went after Jesus Christ. Now, if he went after Jesus Christ, do you think that it were immune from him coming after us?
No.
And just think about the other Old Testament saints that he went after, who Satan tried to get a hold of. Satan worked Jonah over. Satan worked Job over. Satan worked Jacob over. Satan worked Joseph over. Satan worked all of the prophets. Satan was trying to get his grips on the New Testament saints. Satan had a heyday with Paul for a long time. Satan had a heyday with Peter. You know, who do we think we are to think that, you know, and Mark, I agree with you that we shouldn't go back to sin. I totally agree with your concept there. And I'm in no way justifying sinful behavior. So what I am saying is the only way we can walk 1 minute that is pleasing to God is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's the only way we can do it. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts to give us the needed grace to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. And you know what? The devil will get us at just the time when it seems like we're making progress in one of these areas. That's when, at least my experience has been, just when we think we've made some progress, look out. Look out. Here comes old, what do they call him, something foot? What do they call him?
Bigfoot.
Not Bigfoot. Oh, there's a word for him. What is it called? Not cleft foot, but anyway, the Satan. Here he comes. You know, he's going to try to antagonize and tempt, and you know, we are not to be drawn away of our own lust, as James says, that we sin when we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. You know, one of the ways to resist evil, what's the Bible say?
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What's some ways we can resist the devil?
Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and double.
You double-minded. Yeah.
And what else do you say?
Well, you were right on the right track.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Yeah. Says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But it also says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no
shadow turning.
Yeah. So we have to constantly put Jesus Christ in the right perspective, realizing we can do nothing of ourselves. You know, it's all of God. Jesus Christ is the one that will grant to us each day the ability to continue to walk with Him. He said, you know, it's like that song said, just a little walk with Jesus. Well, you know, we want to be close to God. We want to walk closely to Him. We want to commune and fellowship with Him on a daily basis. But sometimes Satan will get in there and he will start in on us. And before we know it, he's had a heyday with us. Now let's look at that. We're all defeated, we're downhearted, we're depressed, we're thrown in the towel, and we feel like there's no way out of this situation. What's the answer?
Turn to Jesus.
Turn to Jesus Christ. He says, my strength is sufficient for thee. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I always like to go back to the 23rd Psalm because He says that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That means in an area where we're not plagued by the onslaught of Satan and sin. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. There's old Slewfoot. That's what his name is. There he is again. The valley of the shadow of death. says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord until I backslide the next time. No. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's preservation. That is eternal security. Some people don't like the doctrine of eternal security. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not principalities. And we know the laundry list that it goes through. So we need to think on these things. We shouldn't go back to sin. But we should constantly stay in the Word of God. The Bible says that in Him we live and move and have our being, and it says that His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman rightfully dividing the word of truth. And it says in another place that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it's all a package deal. You know? But let's remember one thing. Let's always remember this. Always going back to it. I would have liked to have met the gentleman that wrote that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood when all around my soul gives way. He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in my righteousness alone? No.
No, Jesus righteousness.
Right. Dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless.
Stand before the throne.
That's where we're at. That should be our prayer. That should be our heart cry. So when we get in the flesh, which we will, when we stumble and fall, which we will, when we get discouraged, which we will, when we have dark days, which we will, when we don't feel like we're Christians, which we will, when we are defeated by Satan, which we will be at times, realize that Jesus Christ was successful on this earth. He did not ever waver. He walked us down here on this earth, and He walked a perfect life. And He died taking the sins of all of His people upon Himself. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the reality of what You said You've done. We recognize that we are great sinners in need of the Savior. Continuously, we need Your grace. We ask that You would help us. And we pray that You would help us to stay in Your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.